Well, hello, and welcome back to another edition of the Tech Doctor podcast. As promised in the last podcast, the Android Accessibility Part 3, we talked about that Allison is going to be joining me as a co-host here, and true to our word, Allison is indeed here. Hello, Allison. How are you doing today?
And hi, everybody.
Now we're going to change things up a little bit here and not jump into Android Accessibility Part 4 as we had thought, but we're going to talk about a brand new app that just came out in the App Store last Thursday. It's an app that I'm very excited about. I've been doing nothing but playing with it and running the battery down on my phone for the last few days. It's an app that runs on the iPhone, and we have the good fortune of having the developer of the app on the podcast this evening. His name is Caleb Southern. And Caleb, welcome to the Tech Doctor podcast. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Well, great. I wonder if you wouldn't mind just beginning by telling us a little bit about who you are and what you do, and then we'll get into some of the details about Braille Touch.
Sure. Well, I'm a PhD student at Georgia Tech in Atlanta, Georgia, and I'm studying computer science. And Braille Touch actually came out of some academic research that we started here at Georgia Tech about eyes-free text entry on mobile phones and touchscreens, and we developed the Braille Touch interaction is part of that, and it was really exciting because it worked better than we ever imagined.
So it really got started out of a research project then.
Exactly. My colleagues, Mario Romero and Brian Fry, had come up with the idea, and I joined their research team on this and wrote some code for the iPhone and developed the original prototype of the putting a Braille-style keyboard on the touchscreen. And then we got some wonderful volunteers to come in and help us test it out, and we learned so much from that, and we're really excited about how well it actually worked.
Okay, so most people, if they're like me, they've seen lots of tweets and had their email box filled up with messages from the mailing list about Braille Touch, but just in case there are people listening to this podcast who haven't heard of it yet, would you describe it a little bit, if you don't mind, and tell people what it is and what it does?
Sure. So Braille Touch is a way to type or enter text on your iPhone or your iPod Touch on the touchscreen. And so it's a way, instead of using the built-in voiceover keyboard where with the split tap method, you could use Braille Touch instead and type messages for emails, tweets, text messages, or even copy your text into any other app on the iPhone. So there's several other alternative text entry technologies out for the blind community, and this is one based on the Braille code, and we hope it's useful. So it's basically, just to sum it up, it's a way to type hopefully easier and faster than you can with the built-in voiceover keyboard on your iPhone.
And when you say type Braille on the keyboard, you're actually talking about positioning your fingers on the touch screen as if you were typing on a 6-dot Braille keyboard and using different combinations of fingers to enter the characters and punctuation signs and so forth.
Exactly. So it's based loosely on the 6-key keyboard, like on the Perkins and Braille note takers and all that, but we use a different hand arrangement for it. So instead of having 6 fingers in a row like you would on the Perkins, you actually hold the iPhone in a special way where your 6 fingers line up perfectly on the screen to find the Braille dots. And what you do is you hold the phone with the screen facing away from you in landscape with 2 hands. So then your left hand will be on the left side of the screen and your right hand will be on the right side of the screen. And you can hold it in a way so that the first 3 fingers of each hand are kind of floating over the touchscreen. And then you just tap, like, your left index finger is dot 1 for the letter A and so forth. And then on your right hand you have dots 4, 5, 6. And that's how it works. So if you know the Perkins-style keyboard, many people have been able to really quickly transfer their skills and start typing quickly with Braille Touch.
One of the things that I love about Braille Touch is the creativity that went into just the idea of turning the phone facing away from you so that you can actually comfortably position your fingers on the screen in that way. I can't help but ask how in the world or who in the world came up with that creative idea, because you don't just sit down and think, oh, I think I'll flip my phone away from me and start typing some Braille here.
Well, thank you very much. That was really the aha moment that started this whole thing, and I'm going to credit my colleague Brian Fry,
okay.
Who's now, he's a PhD student now at the University of Maryland in Baltimore County, and that was his brilliant idea of using the phone in a different way, because the screen is a little too small to get six fingers in a row onto the touch-sensitive area. So this is a different way to get six fingers onto the screen.
Yes, I've heard a number of people on a few of the lists that I'm on say that they wish you could get your fingers in a row like that. And I guess in some ways that would be nice, even though it would be pretty small. But it would also be more difficult, I think, to actually hold a phone if you were trying to type in that position.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And another thing, if you were to do a Perkins-style straight line layout, is that you would only be able to use it if your phone were laying on a table or a flat surface or on your lap, and not when you're standing somewhere or any other situation that you might want to use a mobile device like the iPhone for.
Most people, when they think of texting or messaging or emailing on a phone, they think of doing it while they're holding it.
Exactly. So this is basically, it's a mobile way of typing, and it's because the iPhone is a device that you'll take with you while you're on the go. So that was one of the key factors in our design of it.
Well, Allison, last time I spoke to you a couple days ago, you were going to go out and give Braille Touch a try, and I'm curious to know if you have and if you did what you thought.
I sure did actually give it a try.
All right.
And like I told you earlier, Braille Touch has become my new obsession. It's really cool. I love it. It took maybe five minutes for me to kind of get the hang of it. Three of those minutes were due to the fact that I decided to try to jump in without reading the manual, which is never a good idea, you know. or not usually a good idea. So I'm tapping around on the screen and I'm like, why the heck isn't this working? And then I read the manual and I had that, aha, this is how I'm actually supposed to do it kind of experience. And I started typing away and I've sent several tweets and text messages with it. And I'm getting pretty darn fast and I really, really like it.
Yeah, even though I was kidding you about whether you tried it or not, I did see a couple of tweets from you, and I saw with each tweet you steadily improved with your
accuracy. Yes, I only wrote one curse word, so.
So I would say you did make really good progress, and I know it was much the same for me as well. I mean, literally, I downloaded the app on my way out the door, headed to work on Thursday morning, and I sat down on the bench outside waiting for my ride. And by the time my ride got here, which was maybe 5 minutes from then, I had already discovered that I could type pretty accurately with Braille Touch. So for me, and it sounds like for you too, it was a very quick learning process. It took almost no time.
It really took no time at all. Using the iPhone 5, I do have to say, the warning about having a case is a good idea, because I did drop my phone twice. Luckily, on a carpeted area, thank God.
Okay, well, I know that this is not what you recommend, Caleb, but I'm the opposite from Allison. I don't have a case. And I discovered that for me, actually, and this may be helpful to some other people, I don't know, but I discovered for me that the best way to do it is to put the side of the phone with the sleep-wake button or screen lock button against my left palm, and then on the right hand, I don't put the palm quite up against the phone so that I don't cover the speaker, since I don't have a case. But that way, I'm able to hold it and type very comfortably without any feeling like I would drop it or lose it. And I did time myself over the weekend using a stopwatch, And the hardest part about all that was trying to figure out a way to hit the button on the stopwatch and start typing on Braille Touch at exactly the same moment. But getting as close as I could, I was doing about between 25 and 30 words a minute. So, I mean, it's pretty amazing, really.
It is.
That's excellent. That's excellent.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the Flexi app as well, which is another app that allows you to text quickly on the iOS devices, on the iPhone, but it uses a different system, not the Braille system at all, the regular keyboarding system, but it allows you to text without knowing anything other than just hitting the keys in the correct pattern. You don't have to hit the exact spot where the key is on the screen. But I find that even at this point, I'm actually faster with Braille Touch than I am with Flexi, which in some ways surprises me a little bit. But I must say, in all fairness, that I've heard other people on the mailing list and so forth who seem to be having more trouble than that. It seems like some of us somehow just really naturally take to it, and others maybe it takes a little longer. Do you have any thoughts about that, Caleb, or experience with that variation?
It does click for some people right away, but for other people, it does take a little bit of practice. And the real trick is just finding a comfortable way to hold the phone in this special position, and then to find where the dots are once you're comfortable with it with your fingers. And once that clicks, I've heard a lot of stories from people who've had an aha moment, and from then on, all of a sudden it just works, and they don't even think about it anymore, and all of a sudden they're just brailing away. So one thing I would say is echo what Allison said. Please do take a look at the manual, which is included in the app, and it's also on our website at BrailleTouchApp.com. Before the app was even released, I had several people who had read through the manual in such detail that they were asking me questions as if they'd actually had it in their hands, and they'd never even used the app yet. So there's a lot of good information in there. But the most important thing is the very beginning, just learning how to hold the phone in this special way and finding a way that works for you personally with that. So I encourage people to keep trying, and also contact me, and I'll be happy to help you personally. I respond to every email we get, so I'm happy to help, and other people on various listservs have been helping too, which is wonderful.
I also find that for me, if I think about it too much, that's when I get a little fumbly. I have to just kind of go by muscle memory. If I start to think, okay, I'm typing Braille on a touchscreen, which is cool and different at the same time, you know, so if I think about it too much, that's when I find that I make a few more mistakes that I have to then correct. So you just have to kind of go with your muscle memory of Braille.
Exactly. I think that's great advice. And so, and to get to that point where you can forget about the touchscreen and all that, it's the beginning of it is really just about finding a comfortable way to hold the phone so you can forget about it and just start brailing as you would naturally do.
Yeah, I find that I'm agreeing with you both, really. For me, and what I've been telling people, the very first step is indeed to get comfortable, find your most comfortable way of holding the phone in the way that you've described in the manual, but adjust it by moving it around slightly or moving your thumbs or your pinky where you're holding it around. Get it in a position that you don't feel like you're going to drop it. It's only then that you can really start figuring out exactly where to position your fingers to make the dots work correctly. And they don't have to be, I've noticed it doesn't have to be an exact positioning, but after you get the hang of it a couple times, you'll really get accustomed to sort of spreading your fingers apart a certain amount to make sure that your pointer finger's hitting dot one and your second finger's hitting dot two, things like that. Once you get that down, it is amazing how fast you can go. And I texted my son, who's a sophomore over at the University of Texas in Austin, and I told him, I have the challenge of a lifetime for you, son, when you come home. And he's a sighted guy. I said, you and I are going to race, and I'm going to win the text messaging race.
I bet you will.
So I'm sure even right now he's working hard practicing, preparing for this challenge. So, no, actually, I hope he's doing his homework. But anyway,
So when you're first starting, if you're worried about dropping it, you could lay your forearms on a table or a desk or even over your lap, and then your phone will be in a safe position while you can move your hands around and get comfortable. And also, once you start to figure out how to hold it, one thing I would recommend, and I think I'm going to add this to the user guide, is to try to find the four corners of the screen. So that would be dots 1 and 3 on your left hand and dots 4 and 6 on your right hand. And practice just with those single dots first. So dot 1, of course, is A, dot 3 is apostrophe, dot 4 is the at sign, and dot 6 is the capital sign. And just kind of go around and find that and move your hands around until you find a comfortable location for those four corners. And then the rest might fall into place naturally once you get that. And then you then kind of go through the alphabet slowly with each letter. Don't try to just start typing away really quickly. And if you go through the alphabet, then you'll find, oh, okay, I got most of these letters. There's a few that are a little bit problematic, and you can figure that out and just get comfortable with it. Is that advice? Does that fit with either of your experiences?
That's absolutely excellent advice, because that's pretty much what I did. I just kind of, once I figured out how I was going to hold it, and once I understood exactly how the app operated, that's exactly what I did. I just kind of hit all the dots and then went through the alphabet. So I think that's excellent advice.
Are you having any problems with any particular letters, Allison, or do they all work pretty easily for you?
For some reason, I have to think about I for some reason.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people told me I's the problem.
Yeah, I've seen that on Twitter.
The only one, though.
I've seen that on Twitter, people saying I, and I do wonder why that one's a problem. I at first thought W and Y were a bit more difficult.
W's a bad one too for some people.
Yeah.
I can't do a W verb.
but just, you know, a couple days practice, it's all pretty much evened out for me. So just to let people know kind of how it works, Caleb, right now the app is available in the App Store, and to simply download it and try it out, it's free of charge.
Absolutely, yeah. So we did that for two reasons. Number one, because there is sort of a little bit of a learning curve at the beginning for how to hold the phone. And for some people, we hope it'll work for everyone, and we encourage you to try. But we know that there's probably some people, it just might not be the right fit for them. So we wanted to give you a chance to try it out at no risk, and you can try it as long as you want and see if it clicks for you before you make any kind of commitment to it. And second of all, we have had a lot of interest from Braille instructors who wanted to use this as a teaching tool with their students for the 6-key Braille keyboard method. And so the free app, because when you're just learning the alphabet and all that, you don't really need to send messages yet. And the free app, we hope, will be a useful tool, because a $200 iPhone or iPod Touch is a lot cheaper than a dedicated Braille note taker or even than a Perkins. So we hope that maybe this will be helpful in that field as well. And we'd love to hear from Braille instructors and students to find out if this is indeed true. But we hope that they can use the free version as well for educational purposes.
Man, if I had something like that when I was in, you know, elementary school, that would have been so awesome. It would have been so much fun. So people can download the app and they have it then, and they can use it forever if they want to just have it as something they can practice their Braille on. But if you want to do more than that with it, there is a cost, and can you tell us a little bit about that, and also what you get if you decide to purchase the app?
Sure. So as many of the listeners probably know, on the iPhone, you can't actually replace the system keyboard with an alternative keyboard like Braille Touch or Flexi or any of the other alternatives that are out there. So what we do with the paid version is we let you send text messages, tweets, and emails right from the Braille keyboard. And we also offer a copy and paste function so that you can, when you type your text, you can copy it and go into any other app on your iPhone and paste your text there. So that's sort of the proven method for alternative keyboards on the iPhone platform. And that's what you get with the full version of Braille Touch. And you can upgrade if you like it, if you practiced with it and you feel comfortable with it, then go to the menu. And to get from the keyboard to the menu, by the way, two-finger left flick opens up the menu. And then near the bottom of the menu, right next to Help, there's a button that says Upgrade, and that'll take you to an in-app purchase. And that's how you do it.
Yes, it's very easy to upgrade. I actually did it while I was sitting in a meeting the other day. Don't tell my boss. And I was so excited that I almost vocalized my enthusiasm, but I was able to keep quiet and get my app upgraded. And when you do that, it does open up all these new features. And I've actually tried all of them, I think, at this point, and have found they all work really well. I especially like the Twitter implementation because you can simply send the tweet right from within the app, or at least that's how it works for me.
Yeah, exactly. And Twitter is great because you don't have to pick a contact. You can just type your message, go to the Twitter screen, and hit send, and you're done. So that's the probably the simplest and fastest thing you can do with Braille Touch.
Yeah, with the text messaging, you actually type your message, and then you get sent to the text messaging screen where you can pick your contact that you want to send the message to, and then the message is already in the body of the message ready to be sent. So it actually, those things actually work quite well. Have you tried those, Allison?
I've done the text messaging and the tweeting so far.
And that worked well for you?
Yeah, the tweeting especially is super easy, and you get the little cute sound from the iPhone, and it's beautiful.
Excellent.
If you are, you know, a Braille user or interested in Braille, like Caleb was saying, you know, even in learning Braille, this app might be helpful, a helpful practice tool. But I do encourage everyone who tries it to give yourself time, be patient with yourself, and don't give up on it too soon. I had a woman on one of the email lists say she was having trouble over the weekend, and I offered to help her. And so she called me, and it took about, I don't know, 3 or 4 minutes to get her from a place of where she was not able to use the app to where she was typing on it successfully. And it was all about helping her really get comfortable holding the phone. And just a few hours later, I saw some tweets from her where she was tweeting with Braille Touch. So, once you start getting it, you can go from 0 to 60 pretty fast. Right now, the app is only able to allow you to enter uncontracted Braille. There's no grade 2 Braille available in the app, but I've heard you say other places, I think, Caleb, that's a hope that of possibly looking at grade 2 in the future.
Absolutely. Grade 2 is our top priority for a future update. But the reason that we wanted to go ahead and do this is because we just wanted to see how well people could use the app physically and find the 6 dots on the touchscreen just to get started with this and get it out there in the world and just get a beginning going for this app. But this is just the beginning. We have lots of fun and exciting plans, and we really want to make this something that's useful and that people will find as something they can use every day in their lives. And grade 2 is a big part of that, obviously.
You know, I was thinking a little bit this morning as I was on my way to work, and I was thinking about more of the educational implications of this app. So many students, when they're learning Braille, they're hesitant because they don't want to seem different from their sighted peers. And how cool is it now that they can practice Braille writing on the same iPhone or iPod Touch that their sighted peers use? I mean, it's just amazing.
Yeah, we would love to hear stories about that. We really hope it's helpful in that way to people learning Braille and to students and to their teachers as well. And so please, if this works for you, let us know. We would love to hear your story about that.
Yeah, anytime a student can use a mainstream device like that, I think it's just gives you so much more credibility in some ways with your peers. You're not walking around with this very strange Perkins Brailler that I carried all through elementary school. and you're using the same technology that everyone else is using if they're lucky enough to have an iOS device. So that's a great point, Allison. I really agree with that.
Especially for a low vision kid who's possibly resistant to the idea of switching over from print to Braille. I mean, I could really see this being revolutionary.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just wanted to mention to people, for now, before grade 2 becomes available, if it does in the future, I like to think of this as just another way of entering text on your phone. And so it's easy for me to forget about the contractions when I'm using Braille Touch, because I've always entered text on my phone one character at a time and spelled each word out letter by letter. So it might help you to think of it as just an alternative way of entering text.
Yeah, that's a great point. Thank you.
You've given people a way to backspace and correct a character. I think at this point there's no other editing capability within the app itself. You just have to backspace and correct your mistake and maybe retype part of the word if you didn't realize you made a mistake until you get a few letters down or something.
That's right. At this point, there's only backspace, which is a one-finger left flick, but editing is another big priority for us. It's not as big as grade 2, because that's the most exciting thing, but we've got an idea for allowing you to use pretty much the familiar voiceover commands for moving through the text as you type it on the touchscreen Braille keyboard. So you would flick up to go backwards, flick down to go forwards, like you would, say, in the Notes app or something like that. And then we hope to be able to do something like the rotor, where you can do characters, words, or lines.
I think it's remarkable that you had the idea and you took this from an idea into an app that's now available, man. It's just really cool that something like that can come out of a lab, and I'm excited by the fact that it sounds like it's going to be ongoing. You plan to continue it. And I wasn't sure how that would all work, because I know sometimes projects in labs come and go and things like that, but it sounds like you have a lot of plans.
I'll tell a little story about how I got from university research into an app on the App Store. And what happened was, we were so pleasantly surprised at our research results when we first tried this in the university, with how quickly people could pick the technique up and how fast they could type on a touchscreen, and actually faster than many sighted people can type on a touchscreen. And then there was some media coverage in the press last year on Braille Touch that came out of the research. And we got such an overwhelming response from all over the world, from people, and we didn't even have a contact link or anything. People just found us and found emails from me and my colleagues and sent us emails and said, I want this. I need this now. I could really use this. And we knew we had to do something then to make it real. So we were searching for ways to get this out of the lab and make a real usable app. And as I described earlier, unfortunately, it can't just become the keyboard on the iPhone. We all wish it could. But we had to figure out a way to get the text out of Braille Touch and do something useful with the text that you typed, which the university prototype didn't allow you to do. So we ended up just borrowing money from friends and family and putting this together and hiring some top-notch iOS programmers to finish the rest of it and get all the text message and copy and paste support and all the things you have to do to go from a prototype into a real piece of software. And it took us a little while to do it, but we're really excited we were able to pull this off and that people are actually using this in the real world, because that's what we always wanted to do, is actually make a difference and get something out there that mattered.
I'm really amazed that you have, sounds like, made such not only a professional but a personal commitment to this. This is something that you've really gotten excited about and have really invested in, it sounds like.
Absolutely, yeah. And my excitement comes from talking to our volunteers and to other people who've emailed me and contacted me in the blind community that basically told me this was so important and would really help them out. And that's infectious. It's contagious to see that kind of excitement, and I'm that excited now. So this is something all of us on the research team knew we had to do this, that the real impact was not papers that we publish in journals and all that, but actually getting this out there in people's hands where it can make a difference.
I do remember last year when the big buzz hit the press about Braille Touch being developed. It's been only 4 or 5 days that it's been out, but can you tell us anything at this point about what these last 4 or 5 days have been like for you? I guess I'm wondering if you've been able to get any sleep at all, and how's the response been, or what's it been like for the last few days?
It's been amazing. It's been so rewarding, and no, I haven't slept very much, but I'm so excited that it doesn't even matter. So I've been hearing from people all over the world, mostly in English-speaking countries, but a lot of people from, say, the Netherlands and other parts of Europe that can still use this with the Roman alphabet characters that from English. And people are just saying such nice and kind things about this. And then some people are having a little bit of trouble, but I'm able to talk to them and give them a couple more pointers. And then I get to see that moment where it clicks for them. And it's so exciting to see this. It's just so rewarding to see it actually working in the real world. It's beyond all of my hopes. So we're delighted with the response we're getting. And awesome. If you haven't tried it yet, please do. There's some people out there that have told me that, you know, I wouldn't really use this without contracted Braille, but it's coming. So please, you know, try it out now and see what you think of it, to see if you like the way it feels in your hands. And all these features are coming in the future, but we want to hear from everybody and see what you think right now.
Yeah, I really encourage you all not to wait. Go ahead and download it. It won't cost you anything to at least try it out and experiment with it. And I can almost promise you that once it clicks, you will really enjoy this way of inputting data on your iPhone. It's very innovative and very creative. And I don't want to contribute too much more heavily to your not getting any sleep, Caleb. And I know it's getting late for you, so we won't keep you. But is there anything that you would like to add or that you can think of that you'd like to mention before we close? And also, Allison, if you want to, any questions you wanted to ask, anything you wanted to mention?
I do have one more quick question. I'm wondering, are there plans, and indeed is the technology even in place at this point, to bring a version of Braille Touch to Android? And the only reason I ask that is mainly because of the fact that with Android you can replace the default keyboard.
That's a great question. I'm so glad you asked that. We actually were originally planning to release Braille Touch on Android first before mm-hmm. it was on the iPhone and the iPod Touch. And that's part of what we've been working on over the last few months since all of the press and buzz happened about Braille Touch last year. What we have an almost complete working version of Android, and it's really exciting because, as you say, it can be the system keyboard, so it works seamlessly with any app you already have on your phone. And so we got pretty far. Oh, and the other thing that I should mention that's really exciting is we have Grade 2 working in Android, so that's all ready to go. There's a it's a long story, but it's more of a licensing issue than it is mm-hmm. a technology issue. I'll put it that way, but it's really exciting. But then we were almost ready, and we found out that Explore by Touch, which is basically the Android equivalent of VoiceOver, which has made great strides, and it's really exciting. Unfortunately, Explore by Touch doesn't let you do multi-touch input on apps like Braille Touch. It only lets you have one finger touch, and it's this weird, obscure technical thing that prevents us from having Braille Touch in a way that we could actually release it, because we know that everybody who's using it would have Explore by Touch turn on. So when we got to that point, we actually got in touch with Google directly and with the engineer who actually wrote the software for Explore by Touch, and he was wonderful. He was really great and supportive, and he said that hopefully in a future version of Android that limitation will be lifted and we'll be able to release it then. So we're really excited and hope that happens in an upcoming version of Android.
So Explore by Touch doesn't recognize the multi-finger gestures, but Android does on some level because we use some of those, right?
Exactly. So it's a weird sort of technical issue with touch input from more than one finger at the same time. Explore by Touch lets you do a lot of gestures, including multi-finger gestures, to navigate your phone. But what it does is the technical term is it consumes those gestures and it won't pass them through to an app that's running underneath like Braille Touch.
Okay.
So if you tried to, say, type an L with three fingers, it would think you were doing a three-finger tap to do whatever control that is, you know,
gotcha.
Like turn on or speech, instead of to type the letter L. And the iPhone does let that pass through, fortunately, which is why we were able to release it on that. So without Explore by Touch, it is amazing, though, to use Braille Touch on an Android device that we have in our prototype version. It's with Grade 2 and most importantly, with it replacing the system keyboard. So you just go into any text field on an app, and you tap on it, and boom, you're typing in Braille, and then you just hit enter, and you're done, and you're back to the app.
But without Explore by Touch, a blind person wouldn't have any feedback, right?
Exactly, and that's why we put a hold on the Android development now, because we knew that in practice, it really would not be usable by people without Explore by Touch turned on. Because, I mean, can you imagine using an iPhone without the ability to have voiceover?
Yeah, I've tried it and I've never been too successful at it.
Yeah, it's always kind of hit or miss, as it were.
We really hope we can do Android in the future, that they fix this incompatibility, and it would be wonderful. It would be really exciting to get it on Android, too.
Well, it's been really great having you on board the Tech Doctor podcast, and I so appreciate you taking your time at this very busy time. I mean, when I contacted you, I thought, well, maybe within the next few weeks, but you were able and willing to do it right away, and I really do appreciate that.
Yes, thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Robert and Allison. This has been a lot of fun, and I really appreciate being on your show. Thanks for the invitation. I'm excited.
Well, we'll have you back as the app develops and more features get added, because I'm sure there's going to be a lot to talk about regarding Braille Touch for a long time to come. So we're just getting started with it, and it's a very exciting time.
It is. And I guess I will leave one more closing point is, anybody who tries this out, feel free to contact me directly, and the website is BrailleTouchApp.com, all one word. And there's a contact form on there, and I answer every email I get. So if you need any help or just have any questions, feel free to drop me a line, and I'd be happy to talk to you about it.
Well, that is excellent. And again, thank you so much for being here. Until next time, whatever we do next, so long from the Tech Doctor. And Allison, so long to
Bye,
you too.
Everyone.